bullets. They also have snipers with live ammo. But now they're shooting fucking tear gas.
What the?
I'm a photographer from Macedonia and Switzerland, and we're standing there 10 meters next to the soldiers when they just arrived, and they shot at us. They hit me in the finger and the camera is broken, and another Palestinian photographer was hit in the arm. They shot with those rubber bullets that shoot 5 or 8 at the same time, and really like straight at the journalists. There was no kids throwing stones next to us. We were 5-6 journalists next to each other. They shot straight at us. So that's what happens here.
A protester we met at the clash, who did not want to be identified, offered to show us a range of equipment he claimed Israeli forces used to disperse crowds.
This is the different kind of guns that the Israeli use. The rubber bullets that they usually shoot. Let's have this metal part in it. I don't know why they call it rubber. And then they have also this one, what they call steel-coated bullets. But the difference is that they shoot it from this one, so you have 15 inside this can, and then when they shoot, it's go randomly and hit people, so they don't control how they hit people. Stun grenade or flashbang. They also the same can that they shoot, so they can either throw it by hand or even shoot it with the rifles. They also have...
And while I deeply regret having to cut that off, I am happy to inform you that you can hear the entire program uncut and uninterrupted at kboo.fm. Just search for One Land Many Voices and find the episode page for today's program, 9/27/19. This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. and we're about to hear Voices for the Animals on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying her habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to a special hour-long pledge drive edition of Voices for the Animals. Hello, I am Michelle Coppola.
And I'm Noah Bristol.
Together with Julianne Schwartz, we are bringing you this monthly program that gives a voice to the urgent animal welfare issues that are happening locally, happening regionally, and worldwide as well. We could not do this without your support. It's so important. And if the welfare of animals in our world is important to you, we urge you to stay with us during this hour. We're going to be talking more about how you can help us during the show, and not just with money.
Today, KBOO's focus is on the Earth's climate crisis. And on this Voices for the Animals program, we will be talking specifically about the ways in which the animals of our world are being affected by these man-made changes, as well as how our own lifestyles and choices affect those animals. This is an issue that has been gaining more and more worldwide attention, both in the media and among everyday people, just like you and me, who are banding together in dramatic action to get climate issues like these more attention and action in politics, industry, and individual consumerism.
So you may be aware of this already, but earlier this week on September 23rd, the United Nations Climate Summit convened, and at that, the United States remained silent. For a change. Unlike China, which intends to fulfill its obligations under the Paris Agreement early, as a matter of fact, the United States is not on track to do so and has announced intentions to actually withdraw from the agreement. That's, of course, drawn criticism from other nations. And at the summit, teenage Swiss climate activist Greta Thunberg gave an impassioned speech to the leaders of the world. Here is an excerpt of that.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Bravo, sister.
Wow. Yeah. Powerful words from a youthful Swedish climate activist, Greta Thunberg. Now, the truth is, the scientific facts about this climate crisis are fairly dire. Consider that the Earth is undergoing the largest mass extinction event in the last 65 million years.
In fact, more than 26,000 known species are currently under threat of extinction.
And between 1970 and 2014, global wildlife populations reduced by 60%.
That is just horrific. When you think about it, it really is, especially in light of you just recently heard about the bird populations that we're 60% of the bird populations are gone now. Animal agriculture actually has a big tie into this. If you don't think what you're eating affects it, listen to this. Animal agriculture occupies a third of the land area of the Earth, and that industry is responsible for 18% of greenhouse gas emissions.
It's also the industry most responsible for habitat destruction, oceanic dead zones, water pollution, freshwater use. Actually, 55% of the fresh water in the United States goes toward animal product production, and also species extinction.
Wow. So we're going to learn more about this today, about climate issues and how they're affecting animals here on Voices for the Animals. And we are very lucky to have with us Tim Verhoef of the Climate Save Movement, who organizes climate change and animal welfare action in Wagga Wagga, Australia. Tim, did we manage to get you on the phone all the way across the earth?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yay!
Wonderful.
We did it. We had a little trouble with that earlier today, and that, you know, we weren't sure we were going to be able to call
internationally. I was stressing out about international calls. Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's wonderful to talk to you, Tim. Thank you so much for being with us. First off, let's go to describing a little bit about Climate Save, what their mission is, and what their activities are.
So, yeah, Climate Save, it started actually from the Animal Save Movement. I think you'd probably be aware of the Save Movement with vigils. Mm-hmm. There is a Portland chapter, and I should just give them a shout out, and they're doing a vigil next week.
Thank
on
you.
Thursday. So if anybody wants to check that out and come along to a vigil, that would be great. Contact them on Facebook. So yeah, we started off doing vigils with animals, going to slaughter. And then back in October, we started Climate Save Movement because the UN report, it painted a really dire picture. Like 12 years we have to actually get something done to achieve a minimum of, what, 2%? 2 degrees mm-hmm. Increase. So, yeah, we recognize that animal agriculture is like a key source of greenhouse gas emissions, as you mentioned. And it's also a leading source of ocean dead zones and deforestation. So we believe that we can eliminate it entirely. It's not necessary to humanity. And then we also need to look at fossil fuels because that is a big issue. But the biggest thing we can do ourselves is going vegan. So from an animal rights perspective, it really does tie in with climate.
You mentioned that Climate Save came out of Animal Save, and Michelle and I might be somewhat familiar with vigils and the Animal Save movement, but our listeners might not be. Can you tell us some more about Animal Save and what a vigil is?
So it started, actually, Anita and a dog, Mr. Bean, in Toronto. They noticed a truck full of pigs going to slaughter, and Anita had never seen pigs before on a truck, and so she started doing weekly vigils. And it actually started a movement. We currently have, I think it's 693 animal save chapters around the world in 70 countries.
Wow.
And a lot of them hold vigils regularly. And yeah, so it's bearing witness to the animals, going to slaughter, taking photos, trying to give them water sometimes. Pigs are a certain animal you can give water to. A lot of animals you can't. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't get close to trucks because they just move too fast. They don't stop.
So all over the world, in 693 or 97 chapters, I think you said, people go out and just bear witness to the last day in these animals' lives and show them a little bit of kindness and love that maybe they've never seen before. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
And then it is a deeply changing moment for a lot of people. And for some people, it's their first form of animal rights activism. And then they go on and do other things, like Anonymous or The Voiceless or Direct Action Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite a powerful thing. And then you share it on social media as well. So you share their stories, the animal stories, and that's powerful as well. My personal experience was I had people say, wow, I didn't know that actually happened here in Australia, because they look at that and then there's slaughterhouse footage. Mm-hmm. So they suddenly make the connection.
You know, you see that a lot on social media, as you mentioned, and on the news as well. It's starting to get a lot of attention, the activism that is being done on behalf of animals headed to the slaughterhouse, giving them water and so forth. What a lot of people don't realize, these pigs in these trucks, only 6 months old, they're babies themselves. And they're often packed in there so tightly they can't breathe. If it's cold, they can freeze to the sides. If it's hot, they can be seared to the sides of the truck. It's really a horrific journey for them, even before they get to the slaughterhouse. And it can be life-changing if you participate in some of this activism, for sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, their natural lifespan is, what, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
And we're slaughtering their babies.
Yeah.
And chickens are 42 days old. It's, mm-hmm. It's yeah, quite staggering when you look at it that way.
And
but it's so far removed from us that we don't understand that, and we don't see it. So when we actually see it at a vigil and then share it, it does make an impact, I think.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't even include, you know, what it's doing to the environment, this animal agriculture on this industrial scale, you know, the waste and the runoff from these huge pig farms and from, you know, these CAFOs and so forth that are putting this stuff into the environment.
Yeah, I know that in this country... In one state alone, North Carolina, the pigs raised there for food produce more waste feces than all the humans on the eastern seaboard combined, and all that corrupts our natural waterways and runs out into the oceans. But we're going to be right back with Tim soon. For now, Michelle's going to take over for a minute.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. If you'll hang on just a moment here, we do have to do a little begging for dollars, and it's important. If you are somebody who really cares about animal welfare and you listen to this program and maybe you're an activist yourself, one of the best things that you can do is to actually support KABU, because we're not only giving a mic to the people, we are giving a mic to the animals. Every month we do this program, and by supporting us, you are supporting Voices for the Animals. You're supporting the work we're doing to give them a voice. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. KABU.FM/give if you want to do it that way, not talk to someone. We also have some adorable animal pins you can see on the Facebook page, an elephant and an orca that say free. Everybody who gives during this program, during the Voices for the Animals program, we will ensure that you get one of those lovely handmade pins. They're just beautiful. 877-500-5266, kabu.fm/give. And Jenka was joining us. Is that what I understood?
I'm here. And I want to encourage people to call right now and support local voices with your membership to KABU. We're almost to the $40,000 mark. And I want to do it this hour.
Woo!
I want us to reach that this hour. And you can get a membership in the name of an animal, a beloved pet, a friend that you have, and you want them supporting KABU. We've had people call up with memberships for horses, for donkeys, for cats, for dogs, and they have said, yes, I'm going to do this for my animal to contribute to KABU, since they don't have the way and the means to do it themselves, but they're appreciate having a voice for the animals on the airwaves. Well, I hope that you appreciate that we have a voice for the animals on the airwaves, that we have a voice for climate change and for addressing climate change here on the airwaves, and we've been providing that all day today. Our theme is addressing and confronting climate change in so many ways. So support the radio station that supports you on a daily basis, bringing you news and information, bringing you local voices, bringing you activism that you hear about in your community that you're not sure what's going on, but you turn to KBOO and you find out what people are doing about these issues. This is empowerment radio. So feel empowered enough to be a part of it right now and to give your contribution of $5 or $10 a month. Call 877-500-5 266. That's 877-500-KBOO. If you need to remember it for a moment, you can also go online, kboo.fm, or on our mobile app. You can get it on the app store and then just look for KBOO. 877-500-5266 on the website or on the mobile app. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you so much. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share a little personal anecdote. I lost one of my dogs on Sunday, a dog that I love dearly by the name of Sadie Jane. And I am going to do $5 a month to KBOO in the name of Sadie Jane and do that in addition to the other donation that I've already given and the donation of my time. And one of the things that I will say is that if you have something to say, if you have a voice, if you have an issue or an angle or something that is of concern to you and you don't feel like it's being covered in the media, you don't feel like you have anywhere to give voice to those concerns, KBOO is your mic to the people. 877-500-5266. You're listening to a special hour-long pledge drive edition of Voices for the Animals with a climate change focus, and we are talking with Tim Verhoff. He is one of the organizers of the Climate Save movement all the way from Wagga Wagga, Australia.
Can I say that one time?
Yeah.
Wagga Wagga, Australia.
Wagga Wagga. Oh, I'm mispronouncing it. I'm sorry.
No.
So, Tim, I wanted to get back a little bit to talk about specifically how animals and their environments are being affected where you are. A lot of people may be familiar with what's happening here in the United States, but I know there's some similarity in Australia. Why is the crisis so urgent for both human and non-human animals around the world and where you are?
Yeah, sorry. I just thought I'd mention that. You mentioned North Carolina before, and the flooding that occurs after the hurricanes. I think that those images sort of went around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all that animal waste goes somewhere when the flooding occurs.
Right.
So it actually occurs here in Australia as well. So we have a lot of drought issues here because it's not raining, and we're susceptible to it anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's really, we're facing the worst droughts we've ever faced. And then we get extreme rain. So the rain washes all the animal waste that's been collecting into waterways, and we get algal blooms. And then fish die. It's just a lot of pollution. Sorry. So that was a little tie with North Carolina there.
Right, right. Well, you have a lot of the same animal agriculture issues that we do here, one of which is how wildlife is being pushed out in favor of grazing lands and other animal agriculture. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening where you are?
Yeah, so we have big deforestation issues as well. I'm sure everybody is aware of koalas. That's one of our icons here in Australia. They're facing extinction. So they're estimating, if deforestation rates continue for animal agriculture, and there's also some habitat, human habitat, by 2050 they'll be extinct. There was a report that came out recently that said they're functionally extinct already.
Koalas. Oh, that is tragic.
Yeah. And but like, there are certain colonies that there's just such reduced genetic variation that inbreeding is occurring, and the population will decline very rapidly. And then, yeah, we've got other functionally extinct animals like the dingo. So, yeah, it's a native wolf, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there are so many species that we never even have heard of that go extinct every day. and no one bats an eyelid, but even these iconic species that we've all heard about, seen, and love, even they are not safe from our expansion and the human-caused climate change. Koalas, dingoes, any other animals in Australia that are under threat due to our man-made climate change?
Many. So lots of insects, spiders.
Mm-hmm.
It's marsupials. So other pouch animals that
marsupials. So, can I ask you, when you say something is functionally extinct, does that mean there is really no way to bring them back at this point? Or is there still any way, if we were able to turn it around, you know, drastically, could they be saved?
It is possible. So, usually functionally extinct, there's a few different ways, a few different meanings. It can mean that the numbers are so low that they have no impact on the ecosystem, or very little impact on the ecosystem. So dingoes are an example there. The numbers are so low that they're a predator here, so they keep populations under control, and they're not being able to do that. So we've got introduced species like rabbits and foxes that are sort of taking over, and they're now regarded as pests. So, and this comes down to a mismanagement thing. We mismanage the environment. We mismanage. We introduce species, which is ridiculous. And now we're using 1080 poison, which is it kills all animals. And then there's a food chain, and it's, yeah. And that's to protect our grazing land and. Yeah,
here in the United States, many wildlife are intentionally killed in order to make it safe for grazing animals, for domesticated animals, to be out in the wild. Is that something that happens in Australia as well?
Yeah, so foxes, again, but that they are an introduced species, so they're not native to Australia, but neither are cows or sheep. And, yeah, sheep are a big prey. Kangaroos we actually cull, and the reason is they say that there's not enough food for the kangaroos, but they then move cows into grazing land as a fire hazard reduction. It's just ridiculous.
They do that with horses here. That's what they're doing with our wild horses here in the West as well.
Last month, Michelle had a show just about that topic.
Yeah, doing that very thing.
Now, when we were talking before the show, you mentioned Indigenous solidarity actions that are culminating in a global action on October 9th. I think you said to remember activists who were killed last year. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so Amazon Watch, Extinction Rebellion, Rainforest Action Network, there's quite a few groups involved, including Climate Save. We did a solidarity action for the Amazon because of the fires that are occurring there, and also Indigenous groups that are really facing a lot of pressure from the government in Brazil. So August, I think we did actions around the world, including some embassy protests. And then on the 5th of September, we did another solidarity action. The 9th will be largely in Argentina, and then we're also going to try and get around the world to join in. And this might be where animal save groups could even get involved, because vigils, we'd like to try and organise candlelight vigils. It's a little bit of a difference, but when you consider that a lot of the Amazon destruction goes to soy, and that's shipped around the world for animal feed, and then that goes to slaughterhouses, it's a big chain that we really need to address.
We're talking with Tim Verhoff from Climate Save. You're listening to a special pitch break edition of Voices for the Animals. My name is Michelle Coppola. I'm here with Noah Bristol. You know, we are doing a Mic for the People membership drive, but we are also a Mic to the Animals here at Voices for the Animals. And if you love animals, if you support animal welfare, animal rights, if you have animals in your life that you love, please pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm/give.
and make your membership donation. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. That's $60 a year. You can do it in honor of an animal that you love that has passed, or in honor of animals that you want to help and see have better lives. 877-500-5266 is the number. We're asking you to go to the phone right now and dial it up. 877-500-5266 if you want to give a voice to animals.
And let me remind you that we have a special premium gift for anyone who is contributing to KBOO today during our show. These are beautiful little wooden laser engraved pins made by our very own co-host Julianne Schwartz. And each one is either an elephant or an orca with the word free on it. And this is a $12 retail value. And anyone who donates to KBOO today, either a one-time donation or becoming a member for as little as $5 a month, $60 a year, will get one of these pins mailed to you. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. Or if you're like me and more comfortable on the web, it's kboo.fm/give.
You know, by supporting KBOO, you are handing the mic over to the real people of Portland and to the animals of Portland. You're giving animals a voice. They don't have a voice. They depend on us, with climate change breathing down on them, with all of the ways that we are despoiling the earth and making it inhospitable for them. It is important that they have a voice, and that's what Voices for the Animals does. That's what KBOO does. It gives a voice to marginalized people. It gives a voice to those who don't have one. And we offer free training to anyone who wants to come down and be part of what we're doing here. It's really a unique thing. You don't see it in every community. So please support us now. We're in the last couple of days of our membership drive. 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give. We certainly hope you'll do that.
And we have a room full of people waiting to answer those phones. And let me tell you, when they get a call, their faces light up. So make them happy. Give that number a call.
All right, so we are talking with Tim Verhoff of Climate Save, and we're talking about animal activism, not only in Australia where he is. Wagga Wagga, is that how it's pronounced? Wagga
Wagga? Oh, you weren't pronouncing it incorrectly. I just like to say it.
Oh, you just like to
Wagga
say it.
Wagga Wagga.
Okay, Wagga Wagga. All right, Tim, we want to get back a little bit to how your activism reaches people and changes hearts. What are some of the differences that you've noticed in approaching the issue of animal agriculture from a climate perspective rather than a morality one? You know, occasionally we find that, you know, telling somebody to go vegan or whatever can be really polarizing. Can you tell us, you know, what the differences are when you approach it from those different angles?
So from a personal perspective, here in Australia, where I live, it's very rural. It's a 10-minute drive for me to a sale yard where weekly they sell about 40,000 sheep, maybe between 5 and 10,000 cows every week. It's a huge operation. Everybody here, they either know someone who's in the industry or their families in the industry, but it's really close to home. So animal agriculture, it's a tough sell from an animal rights perspective. Climate, however, they kind of get it. They're seeing that the destruction that is being caused by the forests getting cut down. And they also know that farmers are actually struggling. Like, so with the drought that we're experiencing, livestock are having real issues with not only food but water. And we're seeing images of cows starving, of dying of dehydration, and people are starting to make that connection. And I think the climate sort of gets them. They know that it's an issue, but yeah, changing what they put on their plate is a real problem.
So when you're at a Climate Save event, an outreach event, you're speaking with someone, what would you like them to walk away thinking?
Basically, I'm not apologetically, I'm unapologetically vegan, so I don't lead with that, whereas it makes it hard as an animal rights activist. You're sort of wearing that on your sleeve. climate, you can start talking about other things, and then drop it in animal agriculture, one of the leading causes of deforestation emissions. It's mainly for a non-vegan, I'd like to get them to think about maybe going vegan, what their food choices are actually doing to the environment. So somehow we need to get them to think about a sustainable food source.
And is that the most powerful choice that any individual can make in contributing to a sustainable future?
I think on a personal level it is. It's pretty hard to avoid fossil fuels. I mean, you can change your power, but every time you walk down the street, if you go into a building, you don't know whether they're using what source of power they're using. It can be fairly expensive to change your car, but vegan food, vegan clothing has never been more affordable and more accessible. And there's so much support you can get now, like with Challenge 22 or Veganuary. So the resources are there to do it. I know there's some anti-natalists who would probably say that the biggest thing you could do is not have children, but not everybody either can have children or wants to have children. So, yeah, going vegan is something that
I know plenty of people who are vegan and don't want children. So you can make both choices.
Well, and also I think when you're talking to people, you don't want to start from a polarizing place. And in addition to veganism, the idea of telling them you shouldn't or couldn't, you shouldn't have children can be very polarizing as well. And that's really the last place you want to go when you're trying to change hearts and minds, would think. So let's talk a little bit. We've talked about the personal. Let's talk about the political. The UK recently became the first country to declare that we are in a state of climate emergency. And of course, the current administration of the US is actively denying there's a problem, and they are removing protections for animals and the environment. The Endangered Species Act is just weakened by the Trump administration, amongst other things. Can you tell us how the Australian government has responded to the climate emergency?
Pretty much exactly the same as the United States.
Ah.
They don't believe in climate change, basically. So we tend to change our prime ministers fairly regularly now. I think we've had 5 prime ministers in the last 10 years or something. One of the government's previous prime ministers, he actually described climate change as, and I won't use the term, but he said BS. Yeah. Use the full term.
Right.
And the current Prime Minister brought a lump of coal into Parliament as a prop and was citing it as the future of Australia. So he's all for coal. We've got a big coal mine that they're trying to push through that is going to cause a lot of destruction to the Great Barrier Reef. And business as usual for them. And
it sounds as though the Australian federal government is almost as comical these days as the U.S. government. Really.
It is. It's fairly comical.
If it weren't so tragic, right.
And I had so much hope.
Yeah.
So what, the Climate Save movement itself, what are its grander goals internationally? Do you have any campaigns or anything like that that Climate Save is working on right now?
Yeah, so we're trying to build the movement still, but campaigns, we're working with the Extinction Rebellion on the solidarity actions with Amazon Watch, and also trying to get the boycott running against what we'd call a dirty dozen. So Amazon Watch put out a list of the dirty dozen companies that are exploiting the Amazon, including Cargill, which is an animal feed company.
Right.
They, huge company, Mighty Earth did a report on Cargill, calling them the worst company in the world. And then there's also JBS, which have slaughterhouses around the world, but they're shipping beef globally.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at trying to do some corporate campaigns. And then we've also got an organizer who's putting together a campaign in Europe for a trade deal. So they're trying to get a Mercosur trade deal with the EU. So it's a block of countries, Argentina, Brazil, South America. and they want to ship. They want a free trade agreement, basically, and they're trying to. There's quite a few people upset about it, including farmers. It's a bizarre situation. We've got animal farmers in Europe actually working now together with animal rights groups. So the Party for Animals, I think it's called, in the Netherlands, they've been approached by farming groups and they want to try and block it. And yeah, it's an interesting time, I think.
Yes, indeed it is. Lots of polarization, lots of changes, lots of events happening. We've been talking with Tim Verhoef from Australia, a Climate Save Movement organizer in Wagga Wagga. And right now, we'd like to take a little break from that and ask anyone who's listening and who values this show, Voices for the Animals, and the message that we put out there. I don't know of any other radio station who has an animal rights program. Maybe they're out there, but I'm not aware of them. Mm-mm. That's only on KBOO, your local radio station. And we would like to ask you to become a member, if you're not already, to make a one-time donation, if that's what you want to do right now, or to increase your current membership. And that number to call in for today is 877-500-5266. The internet people, the web crawlers, that address is kboo.fm/give. And today, if you donate right now during this hour of Voices for the Animals, you will get a free premium gift of a wooden laser engraved pin, either an orca or an elephant with the word
free.
They're
so cute.
They are pretty darn cute.
They are really cute.
By our very own co-host, Julianne Schwartz, $12 retail value and unique. You won't get them anywhere else.
And we have Jenka over in Pitch Central there to tell us a little bit more about how you can help KBOO.
I am here, and I am really excited about these pins. You get that in addition to any other thank you gift that you say you would like if you give $5 a month or more. And we are just a little over $200 away from that $40,000 mark, and I know that we can hit that by 11 o'clock. If we just have one person give that $25 a month contribution to get a KBOO hoodie, we'll go well above and beyond. And I think there is somebody out there that is itching for a KBOO hoodie to wear through this winter. And you can put that animal pin on it, your little proud little free elephant or your free orca on your KBOO hoodie and wear that around town as we head into the winter months. You know, these are interesting times, difficult times. And we want to ask you to contribute to the station that brings people together, to lift all of us up rather than tearing people down by dividing us between factions and between parties. KBOO is here to bring people together. We talk about the interconnectedness of struggles, climate save, animal save, the international to the local connection that you're hearing on this show. Make a decision to be a part of KBOO and support something great in your community and do it right now. This drive ends tomorrow. This is your last day to support news and public affairs on KBOO, so you might have been putting it off. Now is the time to do it. We want to thank Lisa. Cowbell there. Thank you, Lisa, for your contribution. And Lisa, call back if you can. We missed one piece of information from you, and you could be the next person that we thank. There is something here that speaks to you, and we want to continue this work. Help KBOO help you. Call right now, 877-500-5266. Enact positive change in your community by calling right now. And Michelle, I can almost see you across there. How are you doing? And I know that you've got a lot of loyal listeners. What would you say is the top reason for people to support right now before 11 o'clock?
Really, I want to speak to anybody who is an animal lover or is concerned about how our changes in the earth and how the man-made changes are affecting the creatures on this planet, how animals are being driven to extinction on a daily basis. We're losing our birds. 60% of them are gone. If animals mean something to you, if the welfare of animals means something to you, then by all means, now is the time to call during this show, 877-500-5266. If you want to do it in memorial or in honor of an animal that you love, by all means, we would love to take your donation to help KBOO continue to give a voice for the animals and a mic to the people. You can also go to kboo.fm. That's 877-500-5266. Please call us now. You're listening to a special membership drive edition of Voices for the Animals. I'm Michelle Coppola.
I'm Noah Bristol, and we're here with Tim Verhoef, calling in from Wagga Wagga, Australia. He is a Climate Save organizer there. And Tim, I'd like to ask you about something that Australia is known for, the Great Barrier Reef, and what effects climate change is having on that part of Australia.
So, yeah, we've got ocean acidification, and that's causing coral bleaching. And then we've also got deforestation, which is driving climate change. But 94% of the deforestation in the Great Barrier Reef catchment area is a result of beef farming.
94%.
So then we've got runoff from their waste, and then also fertilizer. It's a cumulative effect. I did hear a report, and it's just tragic, but they said that that's another thing that we've lost, mm-hmm. the Great Barrier Reef. The damage is now irreversible, and
The Great Barrier Reef is one of the natural wonders of the world, and you know, when you talk about the coral dying, you're also talking about species that depend on the coral dying. These are animals that are losing not only their homes but their food and their way to live, and those are other species that maybe are out of our eyesight that are completely disappearing when you lose the barrier reef.
And when one single product is responsible for 94% of the deforestation in that area, that raises my eyebrows, and I'm sure it raises a few of our listeners' eyebrows as well.
Can you say that one more time? That can you talk about that statistic one more time? Because I think that's really impactful.
Yeah, it's 94% of the deforestation in the Great Barrier Reef catchment area mm-hmm. is caused by beef farming. And it's actually... so. On a local level, I've been trying to work with Extinction Rebellion here. We've actually got a chapter here that started, and they included that statistic on a menu that they presented to the Deputy Prime Minister, who comes from Wagga, at a lunch that he had. So mm-hmm. it is getting out there, and people are seeing the animal side of things.
It's terrifying how quickly it's happening and on the scale that it's happening. You know, we talked a little bit about talking to people about climate change versus talking to them on a morality level about animal welfare and about how their personal choices affect the earth. Aside from political opposition, can you talk a little bit more about the challenges your organization and other activist organizations face when they are attempting to change minds about animal welfare and the climate crisis?
Well, I think it's the barriers that people have as to why they won't change. And I think convenience is one of the things. Mm. We're stuck in a lifestyle that we've become accustomed to, and it can be difficult to want to change that. And I think of one of the big problems is subsidies that makes it so easy to continue that lifestyle. Mm. So... like subsidies worldwide for agriculture, I think it's around $1 million a minute, which, roughly $1 trillion a year.
And where are those subsidies going? Is it going to healthy fruits and vegetables?
Well, 1% goes to environmental benefits. the bulk of it, of course, goes to high emission farming, which is cows, which again. Further deforestation, and then also fertilizer, which we get the agricultural runoff and pollutes waterways.
So worldwide, our tax dollars are subsidizing our own climate destruction. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I mean, we could be trying to put that into food that is sustainable, that's healthier, better for the environment. But that's one of the big challenges, I think. If we could make food more affordable and accessible, while actually passing on the actual costs of meat, so making a realistic price for meat. I mean, there's various figures I've heard, like a hamburger actually costs, $14 instead of $2.
Right.
It's subsidized.
A lot of people live in food deserts where they don't seem to have a, you know, there's also an economic justice, portion to this as well. There are people for whom it's not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of they just don't have any access to healthier options. And that's one of the reasons that subsidies are a big issue, is because they make it so that a lot of people live in food deserts, and that it's cheaper to eat unhealthy. It's cheaper to eat animal products than it is to eat healthy fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, the prices of avocados here in Australia, it's either do you own a home or do you have avocados?
Wow.
I don't know. Avocado toast is pretty darn good.
You struck me as the avocado toast type. You really did.
Yeah, it's tragic that people for whom they are living in those food deserts, the cheapest options they have available are usually not very healthful for them. And those are only cheap because of the subsidies that are given to those products by our governments, by our tax dollars.
And the interconnectedness of it is something we have to recognize, that, you know, the choices that you're making, that those subsidies and so forth are spoiling the earth and making it eventually inhospitable for us to live. We're a lot of indigenous cultures especially are feeling the effects of climate change right now. Pacific Islanders whose homes are going to be underwater and so forth. You know, it's really scary to think if we weren't so far removed, we would be feeling it a lot more than we are here in most of the United States.
Yeah, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, the Portland area. We're pretty well insulated from a lot of the most extreme effects of climate change. We don't get hurricanes here. We get long fire seasons sometimes. But in many parts of the world, the effects are extreme right now. And there are nations that have suffered far more than we have in the U.S., who have contributed far, far less to this global climate crisis.
So we've talked a bit with you, Tim, about how people can, on a personal level, do things that will help with the climate crisis. But really, I mean, we have to admit, to a certain degree, that's a drop in the bucket. What you are really needing is people to get out there and spread the word and fight. As far as becoming more actively involved, what can people do? Where can they go to get more information and to participate in getting the word out?
So, yeah, climatesavemovement.org. You can go have a look at the website there. We've also got a Facebook page, Climate Save Movement. You could either message the page, or there's an email address, info@climatesavemovement.org. And if you wanted to start a chapter, we can have a talk to you, see what you can do. There's no real pressure. I mean, local areas will have different concerns and different options of what they can do. So, like, it'll be different to Toronto, where they can do an action at the embassy there. I mean, some places might have a university that they can try and work with student groups, get them involved in tree plantings, basically build a movement.
Yeah, there are 170 chapters, I believe, right now of Climate Save worldwide. So you might have a chapter near you, and you can find that out at climatesave.org, was it?
Yeah, climatesavemovement.org.
Climatesavemovement.org, or you can even start your own chapter with help from Climate Save. Now, I'm in need of a little hope and optimism here, Tim. Can you tell us about a transformative moment that you've had in your activism, something inspiring, a change maybe in the outreach?
I think
it's pretty sad. Possibly. It's taking him a minute, yeah. Right?
I was hoping for, there was this one gentleman the other day.
I think the global strikes. That's actually been encouraging to see people getting out in the streets.
Yeah, we had one just last Friday here in Portland. Several thousand people out in the streets.
How many people did you have?
I think it was about 2,000. I'm not sure of the exact count.
Yeah, 2,000 to 3,000. Yeah.
I think that's fairly good for the United States. The numbers seem to be fairly low.
We just got a little tip from our producer. It says it was actually 15,000 people. So
that's more like Portland. Yeah, that's more like Portland.
Yeah. I think Montreal, they probably get like 200,000 or something, and then Toronto will get a couple of thousand. It's one of those things. yeah, I think seeing that happen around the world is exciting. And then we're starting to get the message out there. Like, it's seeing people with signs about animal agriculture going vegan. I was at the climate march in Sydney back in March, I think it was, and there were 30,000 people. Wow. And just randomly I heard someone shout, one of the kids shout, "Go vegan," and it was the message is getting out there.
It's the little things.
Yeah. and the kids were excited because there was supposed to be vegan ice cream, but the police didn't give a permit, so they got shut down. But yeah, it is getting out there, the message, I think. Whereas a year ago, it was really hard to talk to anybody about animal agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
No groups mm-hmm. wanted to hear about it. They're more open today.
So you do, with Climate Save, also have Health Save and Animal Save. So if people are concerned about different aspects of Climate Save or the planet, becoming activist about climate issues, they can get involved with those specific organizations. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. So Health Save, they have some initiatives running, including Street Vegan, which is providing vegan food to homeless people.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're also trying to get vegan menus into like hospitals, schools, and like these are campaigns that like Climate Save groups can use or Animal Save groups can use, but yeah. It's sort of interchangeable.
I was about to ask, there must be a good reason for subsidizing these industries, these foods that are so destructive to our climate. Is it because they're good for us? Is it because they're healthy for our bodies?
Well, I don't think so.
Or is it because the people in power maybe profit off of those subsidies?
There is a book called Meatonomics that actually looks into the subsidies. And I think, so animal agriculture donates money to political parties and then they get money back. And that's
a fascinating subject. I'll check that book out, Meatonomics.
All right, so Tim will be back with you in just a moment. You are listening to a special hour-long pledge drive edition of Voices for the Animals. We're talking with Tim Verhoff from Climate Save. We're really putting the focus on climate issues today on KBOO and on this program, which really specifically gives a voice to the animals. And let me ask, if you found the show interesting or informative or inspiring, or if animals are of concern to you, if their welfare, if animal rights is of concern to you, we are going to ask you to do two things. First of all, tell somebody about this programming on KBOO, and then most importantly, please support us with a donation. You can do that for as little as $5 a month. You can do it with as little as a one-time donation of $25. 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give. All right. We do have a wonderful premium gift during the show for the next few minutes. We have just a few minutes left. If you give during this program right now at 877-500-5266, if you give, we will hook you up with one of these absolutely adorable, what are they, laser engraved wooden pins. Julianne Schwartz, one of the other hosts of this program, she created these. It's a little orca, a little elephant. They say free on them. They're adorable, and we'll make sure that if you donate during this program today that you get one, no matter what your donation is.
Mm-hmm. It can be mailed to you, and even if you're in the area, you can even stop by. We're here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Portland. And you can stop by, give a donation in person, or you can call that number, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm/give.
You know, this programming is all volunteer produced, and we would not have a studio or working equipment or a mic for the people or a voice for the animals without your support. And to tell you more, here is Jenka.
You know, we've got about 7 minutes left, and if we get two people giving $10 a month, we will hit that goal of 40,000. We're getting closer and closer, and then we'll move on to our next goal. But right now, we're working to get that 40,000, and our drive ends us tomorrow. So you might have been hearing us and putting it off. Now is the time to do it. Because if you can do $10 a month, in addition to that cool animal pin, the elephant, the orcas, designed right here by one of our KBOO hosts, you also will get On Fire, the new book by Naomi Klein, The Case for a Green New Deal. This is the long-form essays that delve into the clash between ecological time and our culture of perpetual now, this soaring history of rapid human change in the face of grave threats, rising white supremacy and fortress borders as a form of climate barbarism, and a rousing call to transformation, a dire warning about what awaits if we fail to act. You'll get that as a thank you gift if you just pledge $10 to KBOO, $10, and then next month another $10, and continue that to be a sustaining supporter of KBOO Community Radio. Call right now, set it up. It only takes 3 minutes of your time, and it's very, very easy to do. $10 a month can be done from your checking account, from your credit card, from your debit card, any way that works for you, and you can get those thank you gifts and the real gift of community radio to join in this important work. And do it right now so we can reach the goal in the next 6 minutes for Voices for the Animals. Support this show and support public affairs programming on KBOO by calling 877-500-5266. It's so important to come together at times like these to lift each other up and to be united in our calls for transformation and our calls for change to the status quo. So call right now and be a part of this amazing community, this amazing experiment in community radio, 877-500-5266. Sign up at that $10 a month level. Just all you have to do is say yes. You don't have to put any money forward right now. Just $10 and contribute. Get yourself the thank you gifts, the animal pin, and Naomi Klein's book, On Fire, capturing the burning urgency of the climate crisis as well as the fiery energy of the global movement that is catalyzing right now for a Green New Deal. Call now, 877-500-5266. 5 minutes left.
Welcome back to Voices for the Animals. We're here with Tim Verhoff from Wagga Wagga, Australia, a climate save movement organizer there. Now, Tim, I want to know, you're a busy person, I'm sure, with lots of responsibilities, yet you choose to give your free time to this cause. What makes this cause so important?
It's a necessity, I feel. I don't know how I couldn't do it.
It feels like an obligation.
It does feel like that. Like I've tried not doing it, but I end up finding myself joining in things, and then it's one of those things. I think I feel like I can do it, so I feel like I have to.
And yeah, I'm sure many of us are familiar with that feeling, that little voice inside that pushes us to do something and contribute to the world. But what about this climate crisis issue called you more than any other issue?
I think it was the sustainability aspect. Cowspiracy. I saw Cowspiracy, and that was my eureka moment.
Mm-hmm. Documentary on Netflix, Cowspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's one of the films that we try to do screenings of. Mm-hmm. Everything just sort of came together, and then I found I wasn't having to justify eating animals, so I got involved in animal rights somehow.
Maybe because you have a heart. That's
I think the biggest thing for me was when I went vegan. The very next day I went, I've made a huge mistake. I forgot about cheese. I haven't thought this through at all. But, I mean, I haven't missed cheese. Everything just sort of made sense. And, yeah, the climate, I feel like we need to do something. And just seeing the effects of what's happening, if I can try and help people get involved.
Make that connection.
Yeah. Or even just, you know, switch from plastic toothbrushes to bamboo. Just little things. It's it all is a cumulative.
Well, thank you, Tim, for being with us here today, calling all the way from Wagga Wagga, Australia. We've been speaking with Tim Verhoff of Climate Save on a special Pledge Drive edition of Voices for the Animals on KBOO. If you want to know more about Tim or Climate Save or any of the Save movements, go to our page at kboo.fm/voicesfortheanimals or connect with us on Facebook. You can also reach the Save movement at thesavemovement.org. Thank you again for being with us, Tim. And I want to give a notice to anyone who's listening locally or is in the Pacific Northwest that here in Portland on October 12th, we're going to have an official animal rights march. I believe it starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, October 12th, at Shemansky Park downtown.
You can find out a lot more about that on our Facebook page. We have information about that activist event, as well as other events, animal welfare events and animal rights events happening around our local community. It's all on our Facebook page at Voices for the Animals on Facebook. We have a calendar there that'll tell you about it. And Tim, before you go, I did want to touch one more time on the Indigenous Solidarity Action. Okay, there is an Indigenous Solidarity Action on October 9th. You can find out more about that at climatesave.org. How you can become involved in that particular issue if you would like to do so.
Peace. See you next month.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to the Voices for the Animals crew. And thank you to Tim Verhoff for joining us on the air this morning. And I'd like to thank you, dear listener, for joining the KBOO Foundation. But I can't do that until you call 877-500-5266 and tell us who you are and the amount of your radio bill and how you wish to pay it. Yes, join in with some of your friends and neighbors, some members of your community who got involved in the way and to the extent that made sense to them. And I get to tell you about one such right now, or a few such right now. One of which is how KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Dark Side Cinema, open every night and featuring independent foreign and art house films. Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available at darksidecinema.com. And some other of our neighbors got involved in the way and to the extent that made sense to them. And here is one of my other friends to tell you about it.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community.